Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in John chapter 3, but not where you think. John chapter 3. I want to begin reading in verse 27. This is one thing I always had to pay very close attention to when I first started, because these are the words of John the Baptist written down by John the Apostle. But this is John 3 and verse 27. These are the words, like I said, of John the Baptist. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." And here's what I want to preach about today. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's my title. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man received his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm not going to go into the wrath of God, because Walter's been covering that. But the wrath of God is a real thing. The wrath of God is a real thing. It's just as real as everlasting life. It's in the same sentence. These are your two choices: eternal life or eternal death. Unfortunately, we will never choose eternal life. Jesus Christ told us, "You didn't choose me, I chose you."
Yeah.
"And ordained you." Without that, all we'll choose is eternal death.
Yeah.
Anyhow, these are the words of John the Baptist. And this is what he said: "I am not the Christ. I am sent before him. I am sent before him. I am a friend of the bridegroom," is what he said. And when the bridegroom comes, guess what? The friend of the bridegroom is happy, is joyful to hear his voice, to hear his voice. John told us himself, he said he was sent, John the Baptist was sent to baptize with water. But the one coming is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Oh, the one upon whom the Spirit had descended and remained on him, he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ. That's in John 1 and verse 33. What did John the Baptist say about Jesus? Verse 29 of John chapter 1. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, I like that. I like that. What did he say? This one who's coming, this one I was sent before, he's here. He's here. He's here. Oh, I like that. But it also says, his own received him not. He that believeth the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. What he had seen and heard, this was verse 32, that he testified, and no man received his testimony. His own received him not. He came to the Jews, and they wouldn't have him. John said, behold the Lamb, and then he didn't say, where is he? They didn't believe John. That shouldn't surprise us, because they didn't believe Jesus either, God manifest in the flesh. But here's the thing. Whether the truth is received or whether it's not received, it is to be preached.
Amen.
It doesn't stop the messenger, and it better not, it will not stop the message. But it doesn't stop the messenger either. The truth is to be preached, the gospel is to be proclaimed, Christ is to be lifted up and extolled, whether anyone believes it or not.
Yeah.
Whether anyone believes him or not.
Right.
The gospel is the same and is to be preached. Then John says these words, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, I don't know the extent of John's fame, to use a word, of renown. But John was known. It was known that he was by the River Jordan baptizing people and preaching. And he was preaching the Messiah who was to come. That's what he was preaching. I was sent before him. What? To make the crooked path straight. To lay it down, he's coming. And that's what John was doing. And John was baptizing. John had always said, he's not the message. John the Baptist was not the message. He was just a messenger. And now here John the Baptist says, he's here and he must increase. He must increase. Now, before I get too far into it, let's be really, 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 really clear. There is no increase to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not getting better here. No, that's not what he's talking about. At all. Just drive that out of your head. I know some people like to think, oh, well, Jesus grew. Yes, Jesus did grow up. But Jesus Christ didn't ever get any better. He was God manifest in the flesh when Simeon was holding him as an infant. He was God manifest in the flesh before John the Baptist knew who he was. And he's God manifest in the flesh. Now, when John said, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, I like that. See, because I'm in the next verse, after he says this, he must increase, but I must decrease. He says, he that cometh from above is above all. And Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, and today, and forever. He has never changed. He's not changing now. Jesus Christ did not become more God. More perfect. No. That's the actual definition of perfection. It cannot be improved upon. There is no improvement in perfection. And that's what perfection means. And Jesus Christ was, is, and always shall be perfectly man and perfectly God. In a way that we will not understand until we wake in his likeness. And I don't know that we'll have the whole story then. But I'm hoping I'm going to be smarter then than I am now. But here's the thing. He was God. He is God. He ever shall be God. But he must increase. And he must increase. Now, here's the thing. This is from, and we have to be, this is what the scripture says. This is from John the Baptist's perspective. Now, because here, where is it? In chapter 1, if you look here, where he says, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world," in verse 30, "This is he of whom I'm said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me." Right? He's preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 31, and these are the words of John the Baptist. I knew him not. I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I come baptizing with water. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and not only did it descend upon him, and it abode on him. Abode upon him. Then he says it again, verse 33. And I knew him not. I knew him not. John the Baptist was sent before Jesus Christ, but at one time he didn't know him. And here's the thing, if you want to go back to the history, I'm not going to go too far into it. They were cousins. Mary and Elizabeth, John's mother, were sisters. So I assume they saw each other sometime or another, but no, I didn't know him as the Christ, as the Messiah. I knew him not. I knew him not. Here he is, the one whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlace, whose sandals I'm not worthy, whose feet I'm not worthy to clean. This one is above all. Is above all. Oh my. He must increase. He was God. And John the Baptist didn't know him. Isn't that amazing? Now, he didn't stay that way. He saw him and said, "Behold the Lamb. The Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. This one, he must increase." Now, I do say that John the Baptist was referencing the difference that Christ's ministry was going to increase. Which it did. It did. Jesus Christ's ministry became more public. He did miracles and signs and wonders. He healed people. He opened blind eyes. He healed lepers, folks. That's unheard of. He raised the dead. That was also unheard of. And he also, Jesus Christ also, preached the gospel to the poor. What? Another miracle. Whether we know it or not. Whether they recognize it or not. And here's the thing. The ministry of Jesus Christ did become widely known. He had a following at times. And they got excited when he came into town. They had heard about him from other people. His ministry did increase. And it must increase. That's true. And it still is. Because his words are still read today. We're reading them right here. Walter's going to read some more. Paul's reading some in Wheelersburg. There are ministers, true ministers, who are going to be reading the words of Christ all over this country and all over this world. He must increase. And he has. 2,000 years later, and we're still reading his words. He is exalted in true gospel sermons preached by those ministers whom he has sent. That's what John said. I was sent. I was sent. And what? I preached. And I baptized. He must increase. Today, Jesus Christ is preached. The Messiah. The Holy One of Israel. The Redeemer. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord of hosts is his name. That's his name. He must increase. He must increase. We preach of his kingdom, there shall be no end. He must increase. Yes, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And to us, today, believers, today, he must increase. But I must decrease. That's still true today as it was 2,000 years ago when John the Baptist said it. He said this, but I must decrease. Notice how personally John the Baptist says this. He said, I must decrease. He didn't say you must decrease. He said, I. Although it's true of you too. It's true of me too. I must decrease. Because here's the point. To me, from my perspective, and to you, from your perspective, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what I'm saying to you. He must increase and you must decrease. The longer I go, the longer I have believed, the more I seem to a little bit of laying a hold of this. He must increase and I must decrease. The longer I go and grow believing Christ, the more I know he must increase.
Amen.
He must. Because in my mind and in my heart, he must increase and he must decrease. I must decrease, excuse me. In my life and in my love, he must increase and I must decrease. I'll tell you how this happens. Because here's the verse. You don't have to turn there. But 2 Peter 3:18. He says this. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I know this is true. I know this verse is true. To grow in grace and knowledge. I'm not talking about growing in, what is it, sanctification. No. I'm talking about growing in grace and the knowledge of, it's learning. When you study, when you hear sermons, when you learn, when you occupy your mind with the things of Christ, to grow in his grace, but in the knowledge of him, he must increase and I must decrease. But I do want to tell you something. When I first read this and when I was first thinking about this, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it really didn't turn out to be what I thought it would. Now that's my fault, not the scriptures. That's my fault. Because you understand, you read this and you think in your head, because we're human beings, I'm going to get stronger. No, I found out I'm weaker. I'm going to get stronger in the Lord and know more about the Lord. And yes, you do. You do grow in grace and you do grow in knowledge. I am nowhere near as ignorant as I used to be. Thank God Almighty. But here's the thing. The more I learn, the weaker I see that I am. You understand? I thought I was going to get, you know, be a warrior. Yeah. No, that's not how it works. The more you know about Christ, the more how little you know yourself to be.
Yeah.
I'm not growing stronger. I'm learning that I'm weaker.
Right.
And I learned that I am weaker than I ever knew.
Yeah.
He must increase and I must decrease. Learning how little strength that I have, how little I really know of his grace. No, and here's the thing. Not only that, I have grown in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ to find out this. I should decrease.
Yeah.
I need to decrease. Because to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ is to enhance your dependency on Him. And to know your dependency, that there's nothing in you. And here's the thing. This is something most people don't get, probably won't understand, even though I'm going to say it. I want to decrease. You understand? I want to decrease. I want to have. I want to come to the place where I can really say and mean it, I have no confidence in the flesh. But I have every confidence in Him. He must increase, but I must decrease. And here's the thing. Those things are related. The more He increases, the lower you're going to decrease. You understand? If He's not increased, you think you're pretty close. But the more He increases, the lower you go. And that is the way it's supposed to be. The more you know of Christ, the more you know you are not Him. What is it? I have not arrived. Some people think they've arrived. And you know that the problem is that they're bringing Christ down and raising themselves up. And you're not supposed to do that. He must increase, but I must decrease. I want to have no confidence in the flesh. Matter of fact, I wrote this down. I must decrease in my own preaching. Because the preaching of the sermon is not to be about me. It's to be about Him. It's to be about Him. Last week I preached from Isaiah 53. And you know what I preached? By God's grace, I preached about Him. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Now, I've got sorrows and I've got griefs, but that ain't me. He's not talking about me. Oh, the chastisement. My chastisement was laid on Him. He must increase and I must decrease. The message is come to Him. That's the gospel. Come to this one. And the good news is He must increase and I must decrease. I like that. I do. I've got to decrease my own thoughts. Because I am still, to this day, my own worst enemy. Understand, I have trouble being humble. If I'm good at being humble, I get proud of it. It's like, you know, yeah. I remember an old joke from a book where a guy said, I got more humility in my little finger than you got in your whole body. And the guy says, oh, I'm sure you do. Being real humble. And neither one of them got the joke, you know. I have a decided tendency to compare myself with other worms. And in some ways, I look pretty good that way. To some worms. Now, the other worms I don't compare myself to, the good ones. But here's the thing. I have to look out about being proud about how humble I think I am. I got to decrease in my own thoughts, in my own mind. And I got to decrease in my walk. Oh, I know. I must remember that I cannot walk aright in and of myself. And folks, neither can you. I'll just say it right there. Neither can you. Because to walk in the Spirit takes the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. To walk in Christ takes Christ in you, the hope of glory. That way I shall walk aright, only in Christ. But that means I must decrease. I must decrease. Here's what it comes down to. We said it before, we'll say it again, I'll say it right now. You can't preach Christ too high. And you can't preach man. And that includes me. That includes you and you and you, all of us. You can't preach man low enough. It's not possible. We lack the talent. We can't do it. Either one. I can't preach too high, Christ too high, and I can't preach man too low. Oh, Lord. What did John the Baptist say about this one who must increase? He that cometh from above is, and I love that, is above all. Not that he shall be. Oh, he's going to be great. No, no, he is. John, and I'm going to tell you this. He was great even when John didn't know him. Oh, John the Baptist didn't know him. The one who came before him to prepare the way didn't know the Christ of God. Oh, but here's the thing. He is above all. He came from above and he is above all. No exceptions, no complaints, no questions. He is above all. Period. What about this? Well, he's above it. What about that? He's above it. What about my decisions? Oh, he's way above that. What about my choices? My wants, my desires? He's so far above that you can't even see him. If you're asking that question, you don't know what you're doing. He's above all. He that is of the earth is what? Earthly. Earthly. And what? Speaks of the earth. What do we say naturally? Only about what we know. Now, I like what Earl said about the earth, earthy, or the dirt, dirty. That's what the word earth means. It's of the ground. You know why? Because we're worms. Naturally, we're worms. Wriggling, useless, as far as we're concerned, worms. He's far higher than that above us. He must increase and I must decrease. He that comes, and John even narrows it down, he that comes from heaven. He comes from above is what he says first. Now he's coming from heaven. He's above all. He's above all. The Father has given him power. He says in John 17:2, and as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look, and this is life eternal. That they might know